is our concluding session of this wonderful weekend. I am very happy to have had the chance to talk individually with so many of you. What impresses me so much is your great potential. Locked up inside so many of you is enormous capacity to do good for yourself and the whole world. I can appreciate that many of you are not selfish persons. You want to do the right thing. Simply, you have to be properly explained what is the right thing. You don't want to be true believers, and that's good because we want to show you how Lord Krishna's instructions make you a true experiencer. From talking with so many of you, I can see that you're yearning for something more. You're aspiring for higher heights. All right, you're doing the work thing, you're doing the studying thing, but you know you have capacity to do more than that. And I appreciate that you're feeling in that way. And you see examples all around you how it's completely possible to study, to work, and practice Krishna consciousness fully, even with family. I see that many of you now have that confidence that indeed there is a way forward. There is a path forward of honor and valor and integrity, and that's what you want. You have a way for surviving the attacks of illusion. You can see that the tools are at hand for achieving that most high goal. I've talked to so many of you who are going to take concrete steps forward entering the Bhakti laboratory. That is very good. I've talked to some of you who have been on our cruises. A few have been to previous retreats. And I can see that you're making progress. So this enlivens me very much to present Krishna consciousness to such a group of high potential. You just don't want to be cogs in the machine. You just don't want to be another chip. I'm very happy to see how indeed you realize you can push ahead. A solid scientific knowledge of Lord Krishna. A few of you I've talked to, a typical confusion, because in India you may have some traditional guru who does not teach you what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, but because it's a local custom, people accept. So I've had to gently point out to you that such a person may be very nice, but if we're not saying what Krishna says, then we're causing great harm. Guru is one who delivers the post without change. I may have my opinion. You may have your opinion. We're concerned with what does Krishna say? The supreme opinion. How would you like it if before the post person delivers your post, he or she opens the envelope and reads the letter and then or the whatever the document and changes it and then hands it to you. Now you expect this person to just deliver unchanged. That is what the guru does. The humble service of the guru is to simply present what Krishna says without change. Unfortunately, some persons find that hard to do. There's no room for false ego. The false ego wants to present its own opinion. Yes, Krishna says this, but actually, this is what we believe. According to the spiritual scientific standard, someone who does like that is not a guru. Earlier, we talked about brahmanas by name only, brahmanas by birth. Similarly, gurus by name only present their own opinions. They don't say what Krishna says. So please keep that in mind. If you want to move away from the shores of sentimentality and concoction and accept the genuine spiritual science as Lord Krishna, the cause of all causes, has given. And that way our life can be properly focused and develop. I like that as you all leave here today, you think about a basic point of Bhakti Yoga, that every activity you do has a certain taste. And it's because of that taste or rasa that you struggle on, you push on. You're going to school, you're working, or you're working and going to school, because you're pursuing a particular taste. You hope that those activities will give a flavor that will make your life meaningful. Similarly, in Krishna consciousness, the activities of chanting Hare Krishna, hearing about Krishna, taking Krishna prasad, all have a certain taste. Obviously, you are acquainted easily with the taste from taking Krishna prasad. How has the prasad been? Yes. All the bhakti activities have taste. The unique feature of the bhakti activities, the taste from the bhakti activities, is that the taste is eternal. There's no end. What about the taste for material activities? So temporary, and therefore you become disturbed. The most intelligent way to arrange our life is to fill our life with activities with the eternal taste. And you just do the activities with a temporary taste to support you're getting the eternal taste. The taste of material activities not only is temporary, but it's also very insubstantial. It's like grabbing smoke. You try to grab a fistful of smoke and you open your hand to see what you've got. You've got nothing. You keep grabbing smoke. Grabbing smoke, opening your hand to see what you have. What do you end up with? Just a sore muscle. That's all. So this is the nature of the taste of material existence. So please think about the taste you're getting from your activities. Every activity has a taste that drives you onward. Working, family life, friends, society, all that has a particular taste. The taste you get from the material realm, from material activities, cannot satisfy you. And many of you have realized that. When you turn to the bhakti activities, however, the taste is endless. So this accounts for the feelings of relief and then ever deepening satisfaction that you get with the bhakti activities. Because the taste has no limitation. This unlimited taste lets you know you're on the spiritual platform. Genuinely, not just blind tradition, not just blind belief, but actually you're in the laboratory tasting the eternal spiritual reality. This is what Krishna wants to give to you. Krishna doesn't ask that you be a Brahmin by birth. He doesn't ask that you have a guru by tradition. He asks that you simply accept Bhagavad Gita as it is and apply it in your life. One of the questions this morning was about, okay, how do you practically apply Krishna consciousness? What do you do? First of all, as some of you know, there's the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra as a daily practice. That chanting is direct association with Krishna through sound. It's not just some arbitrary words that have been selected. No. The Hare Krishna mantra is presented in the spiritual scientific text as the most effective method for spiritual development in this present age of darkness. In fact, some of you may know how in Bhagavad Gita Krishna says that Yadaya dahi dharmasya glanya bhavati bhaja. Whenever and wherever there's a decline in religion, Krishna comes. So where is Krishna now, you may ask? Everything is so irreligious. Krishna has come as the Hare Krishna mantra. And every one of you will have the chance to see Krishna appear in your life through the Hare Krishna mantra. The more that you take shelter of the Hare Krishna mantra, it'll be like the sun rising in your life. You'll see the effects. It's not a secret mantra. It is available for everyone. And I note that some of you here indeed are making great progress in taking Shelter's Hare Krishna mantra, and you are seeing the effects, the practical effects. That's very good. And we ask that those of you who are about to embark on your chanting mission, you do that with discipline, gradually increasing without going backwards, and you also will get that experience. So the chanting of Hare Krishna is essential. It is the engine of bhakti in this day and age. Chanting of Hare Krishna is meditation. You're meditating on the sound vibration. You're associating with Krishna through sound. So many people may say, can you see God? But hearing the Hare Krishna mantra is also seeing. Why just so much emphasis on one of your senses, seeing? You have five senses, six if you include the mind. So you can detect an experience. You can have an experience through your ears. So first, you learn how to hear Krishna. Then later, you learn how to see Krishna. This is bhakti science. Besides chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, there's also offering your food to Krishna. You have all this weekend tasted the wonders of Krishna prasad. Ordinary ingredients that you've tasted so many times become another universe, a spiritual universe, when the food's offered to Krishna. A devotee, a practitioner of Krishna consciousness, offers all the food to Krishna. You can learn how to do that. And then there's the regular association with other practitioners of bhakti. Birds and feather flock together. You become like whom you associate with. So if you associate with low-class, materialistic persons, you'll be like that. And if you associate with inspired Krishna bhaktas, you'll be like that. So simple. According to whom you associate with, that determines the kind of sound vibration that goes in your ear. Association means you're talking, you're listening. In the assembly of Krishna conscious persons, you always hear talks about Krishna's service, about Krishna himself, about how to give others Krishna consciousness. This is enlivening for the soul. Material existence is very deadening. Constant discussion of material arrangements, material sense gratification. So those of you who are contemplating gradually taking up the Krishna conscious process should bear in mind the chanting, the offering of food, and the associating with devotees. Naturally, when you do that, the negative activities will slide away. I talked to some of you who said that before you began starting to chant, you were drinking, you were smoking, other unmentionable things, but by taking the Krishna consciousness, you let go of those things so easily. That's what I mean. You all have so much potential. I talked to parents who were so happy that their son had taken to Krishna consciousness. I don't think we need to keep that a secret. Gentleman here sitting on the couch. He's very proud that his son is practicing Krishna consciousness, yes? In India, his son was not doing any spiritual activities. And the father was worried, okay, he's going to Australia to seek his fortune, but will he become degraded? He was worried. And then his father finds out, my son, he's become so saintly in Australia. He couldn't do it in India, but he's doing it in Australia. So the father is so proud of his son. And now the father himself is taking up the bhakti process. What do you mean? Krishna consciousness is all auspicious for everyone. The father and mother, they have been coming to the Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir, and they are so happy serving Krishna there. Then I spoke to another devotee whose older brother and wife had just come. And now the older brother, he also wants to practice Krishna consciousness. I asked the older brother, tell me, what was your younger brother like before he was Krishna conscious? Let's give you some research information. He told me how his younger brother was a big enjoyer at school in India. He was never satisfied with that. Now, the older brother is so impressed by his younger brother's behavior. Krishna consciousness is all auspicious. It makes everyone's life successful. I also talked with quite a few young couples, and it was amazing, the same issue came up. The wife was saying, why do I have to do everything that he says? You know, modern times. So I explained. I said, okay, let's be practical. The things that he's telling you to do is really a life and death issue, that you have to just agree, otherwise it's the end of the world. And each time it's, no, it's not like that. That's the kind of degree. That's the big deal. The nature of the male ego is such that it can't take any competition in the home. And I showed them a section of Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, where Srila Prabhupada explains how actually the way for the woman to conquer is by being very sweet and agreeable. That way the man comes under her control. But Srila Prabhupada says how the modern women think that's slavery. They don't understand this is the way to conquer. So I showed this section of Bhagavatam to the young couples. And the ladies still had a little difficulty accepting that. Because perhaps they are attached to going into an ego war with the man. But again and again I say, is he asking you to do something that's the end of the world? It'll be a disaster, if you agree. Each time, no, it won't be a disaster. There's a few things out of the long list. There are a few things that we really consider serious issues. But then let the other things go. And you just save your disagreements from the very, very few serious things. Okay, Swami. Getting difficult. I explained that the main thing is that you both are Krishna conscious. Not arguing over small things. I gave the example from Ram Leela, Dasharatha Maharaj, and Kaikeyi. On the battlefield, Dasharatha Maharaj, Ram's father, was wounded, and his wife tended him so nicely on the battlefield. So then Dasharatha Maharaj said, oh, you have cared for me so nicely in this moment of crisis. I offer you any benediction you like. What did Kaikeyi say? Huh? Later. So Dasharatha Maharaj thought nothing of it. Oh, later. Amen. That fateful day before the coronation of Ram, when he was to be coronated king of Ayodhya, Kaikeyi said, do you remember the benediction you gave? And Dasharatha Maharaj said, oh, yes, on this most happy day before Ram is going to be king, what would you like? Yes, I remember. Send Ram to the Bharat. Make my son Bharat king. So she had conquered by humble service. She was in control. This is one of the comments how the modern women can understand that. This is the way to conquer. I think it's the way to slavery. Ladies come here to Australia and they see how the Australian ladies act. That's the way to happiness. Of course, sometimes the ladies have a good point. If we're going to be submissive, then we want the man to show all good qualities. All right, fair enough. In Krishna consciousness, the man learns how to show good qualities in the home. So therefore, if the woman has a Krishna conscious husband, she should cooperate. Each time, each lady said, glad. If you would agree with him, that'd be the end of the world. And there's so many issues that are so crucial. He said, no, very few times it's like that. The issues are so crucial. I said, then why not let it pass? Just agree, you know? What's the big deal? These are some skills that you'll learn as you increase your Krishna consciousness. Your home life will improve. Your husband and wife will learn to serve each other in becoming Krishna conscious instead of warring with each other. For what purpose? These are some of the things that I was discussing with those who came to see me today. I was very happy to give Krishna conscious advice, and even happier to see how you have in the past taken this advice seriously, and I can see the results. This is what the path of Bhakti Yoga, Krishna's path, is all about. Auspiciousness for everyone through chanting Hare Krishna. That sound vibration of chanting Hare Krishna will protect you from the illusions of Maya. So many of you today told me about your mind and how there's so much craziness running around in the mind. Yes, that's the way it is these days. Because of the advertising, the billboards, the internet, the television, the movies, so much materialistic agitation is in the air. And that's what's causing all that turbulence in your mind. But if you properly take shelter of the Hare Krishna mantra, your mind will become under control, as you saw in the drama earlier today. You saw Kali. Where is Kali here? Yes. Where is he? Okay, you saw him. Pushing on his program. Was there anything complex about Kali's program? Same old thing, just as we talked about in our discussions. Illicit lust activities and intoxication. That's all that Kali Yuga is about. No matter how much money you make in Kali Yuga, it ends up being spent on those two things. So Kali Yuga attacks your mind, makes your mind spin. And this way your life becomes spoiled. But through proper spiritual practice, through properly taking shelter of the Hare Krishna mantra, the mind becomes your friend. And then, instead of the mind being your enemy, your mind works very wonderfully for taking you back to Krishna. So I talked to so many of you, and heard about your situations, thought about your situations. And I can see that Krishna has given you all such great potential. My spiritual master, the founder of Krishna Conscious Worldwide Society, Srila Prabhupada, when he first came to the USA in the 60s, he would always lament that before I came to the USA, I was going all over India trying to get intelligent young persons to become interested in Krishna consciousness unsuccessfully. Only a few very old persons would be interested. Srila Prabhupada would go to the homes of the wealthy and say, please, if you give me your son, I will train him up to be a first-class Krishna Bhakta. And the father would say, Swamiji, no, don't touch him. He's good for technology. Don't touch him. Srila Prabhupada lamented very much about that. So he came to the West, and he spread Krishna Bhakti amongst the Westerners. And then he took those Westerners and brought them to India and showed them to all the people in India. Just look, if they can do it, certainly you can. Now, in fulfilling Srila Prabhupada's desire, we can see so many intelligent young persons from India are taking Krishna consciousness seriously. I explained in previous retreats, sociologists have called it the pizza effect. You see, originally pizza is an Italian food meant only for poor people. Only the poor persons in Italy would eat pizza. It was not known anywhere in the world outside of India. Then someone had the idea to take pizza outside of India to the West. And suddenly pizza became the favorite food of everyone. Wealthy, poor, everyone. Everyone eats pizza. Then, because everyone outside of Italy was glorifying pizza, pizza was brought back into Italy as a food for wealthy people. Now even in India, people are like eating pizza at our Mandir restaurants in Mumbai. They offer pizza cooked in special brick ovens. So, in the same way, Krishna consciousness has gone through a pizza effect. The young intelligent persons in India weren't taking it seriously in the 60s and 70s. So then, Krishna consciousness was shipped overseas, where all the young persons took with enthusiasm. And then it was reintroduced back into India. And now, so many intelligent people, both young and old, are taking to Krishna consciousness in India. So these are the strategies for spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Sometimes you don't realize what's right under your own nose in your own backyard. You don't realize it. So many of you, or actually all of you, were not in any way thinking of being serious about Dharma when you were in India. And then you come to Australia and you become a hybrid and you start to think, I have no position in India, I have no position in Australia, I'm between two worlds, what do I do? In that situation, you start inquiring about Krishna consciousness and your life becomes successful. We've been doing these retreats here for 5 or 6 years. First we started with 1 a year, then 2 a year, then 4 a year. Things keep growing. Then we added boat cruises. So there's such potential, such energy that you have that can be used for perfection for yourself and others. So I'm very happy to humbly serve that potential for perfection. Please remember to make the chanting of Hare Krishna your number one priority, and then you will see the spiritual advancement come. You'll see the negative activities go. If you have a home and family, make Krishna consciousness the center of your family life. I know that so many of you have moved near the temple or are thinking about moving near the temple. That's very good. When the temple becomes the center of your life, that's a very good sign. So we'll stop here and ask if you have any last questions. Thank you. Please proceed, Musa, with the microphone. Thank you.
Thank you, Shama. And I've got two quick questions related to chanting. What is the importance of chanting on bees?
And the bees help you to concentrate. Because when you're fingering the bees, you're involving your sense of touch. Bhakti yoga is sensory. It involves sound. And it involves also the sense of touch. It involves your mind. Okay?
I have one more question. What is the importance of that word Ram in Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Ram?
You don't know who is Ram?
I know who, but Maharaj, but most of the time when we are talking about Lord Krishna,
talking about Krishna includes Ram, includes Vishnu, includes Narayan. Krishna is the avatari, the source of all the avatars. You can take Ram in the Hare Krishna mantra to refer to Ramchandra. You can take it to refer to Lord Balaram. All the possibilities are there in Krishna.
What happens when you start concentrating on Lord Ram as well? Will you be distracted from a Hare Krishna moment, or can you sustain in that way as well?
When you chant Hare Krishna, you're chanting Hare Ram. This is concentration. Okay? The more you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, the more Lord Ram will be pleased. In the best way. All the demigods, all the devas, if you please. Lord Shiva chants a special version of the Maha Mantra, but you can't imitate it. Lord Shiva simply chants, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Lord Shiva wants you to chant Hare Krishna. So we've reached the end of the questions. Everybody knows everything. So if you have reached the end of the questions, that means one thing. It is time for kirtan. Please, now I ask you for a favor. During this final kirtan, please chant very enthusiastically from your heart, singing the Hare Krishna mantra. And that will be the only request I ask of you. All right? Hare Krishna.